Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Luke chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where, as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him.
Lesson 63, The Day of Reckoning. In today's lesson, we shall learn about the Day of Reckoning. We will meet Zacchaeus, who has a reckoning with Jesus and his riches. One day in the future, we shall all give an account of how we have lived our lives. Some will be rewarded for faithfully serving in God's kingdom, and others will be destroyed because they failed to submit to Jesus as their king. We also see the day approaching when Jesus will have a reckoning with the religious rulers of Israel. Today we meet Zacchaeus, an interesting character in the Bible. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which was not an honest job, and that meant he was despised by most people who had to pay their taxes to him. We are told he was a rich man. But when Jesus was coming by, he did not let his pride and dignity keep him from wanting to get a look at Jesus. Because he was short, he had to climb up in a sycamore tree to get a view of Jesus. This is not something we would expect from a rich man, but Zacchaeus was more concerned about learning about Jesus than about what others thought about him. When Jesus came near the sycamore where Zacchaeus was, he said to Zacchaeus that he would come to his house. Zacchaeus was very happy to have Jesus visit his home, and it is also clear that through Jesus' words and influence that Zacchaeus became a true believer and follower of Jesus as God's Messiah. We can see the evidence of his conversion as he proclaims, He will give half of his goods to the poor, and if he had cheated anyone, he would replace it with four times as much as he had taken. Jesus perceived the genuineness of Zacchaeus' repentance and faith, and said that salvation had come to his house. Jesus added the words that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. I wonder if you are that lost one whom Jesus is seeking today. Are you as anxious to meet Jesus as Zacchaeus was? Jesus tells us another parable about a nobleman who traveled, waiting to receive his kingdom. Before he left on his journey, he supplied some money to some men and asked them to do business till he returned. Some of the men used the money to earn more and were rewarded with great responsibility in the nobleman's kingdom. One man returned the money that had been given to him, stating he knew that the nobleman was strict. He did not make anything from the money given to him, and he was severely judged. Jesus tells us this parable to teach us that one day we shall have a reckoning with the Lord and shall give an account of our stewardship. He has entrusted to us our lives, and so many waste this life on selfish and sinful pursuits. He also entrusts to God's children the gospel message to share with the world. If a child of God can take the message of salvation to the world and see others come into God's kingdom, then he will be rewarded abundantly when the Lord returns as King. Those whose faith has produced nothing, or those whose lives were only lived selfishly, will be destroyed before the King because they failed to honor him and serve his interests. As Jesus came from Bethany over the Mount of Olives, he was riding upon a borrowed donkey, and the crowds laid down clothes and palm branches and praised Jesus as the Son of David. Their shouts of praise and honor were heard by the Pharisees, who told Jesus to rebuke the people. They thought Jesus should not be honored with the titles of the Messiah, for they did not believe he was the Messiah. But Jesus knew who he was, and that even if the people would not shout out praise, even the rocks would sing with praise. As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he weeps over the city that stoned the prophets and would kill their own Messiah. He pronounces a judgment against the city, saying that no stone will remain on another when the city was destroyed. This prophecy was later fulfilled in A.D. 70, when the Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. In Jerusalem, Jesus once again visits the temple and becomes angry at the sight of people buying and selling and all the money changers. In his anger, he chases them from the temple area and says to them, "My house is to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Daily, Jesus was teaching in the temple area, and the chief priests, scribes, and rulers wanted to find a way to put Jesus to death, but they could not because the crowds were glad to hear him. We can see that the day of reckoning was coming to Jesus with these religious rulers. They were not going to tolerate his preaching against their covetousness and religious hypocrisy. Jesus certainly knew that the time of judgment was fast approaching, but was determined to face his judgment in order to bring salvation to you and I. We also are fast approaching our own day of reckoning. Soon we shall leave this world and face God's judgment. Are you ready for your day of reckoning? Have you prepared yourself to meet your King and to give an account of your stewardship? Will you be like Zacchaeus, willing to give up greed and selfishness to become a true follower of Jesus? Or will you be like the religious rulers, who only wanted to appear religious, but still live for sin and selfishness? On the day of reckoning, all secrets will be revealed, and your true heart will be exposed. I hope that day will be a day of rejoicing for you, and not a sad day when you meet the wrath of God. Trust in Jesus as your Savior, and I know that he will cleanse you and make you new and ready for his soon return. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For today's Bible question. Today we've been learning about the day of reckoning. We saw how Zacchaeus had a reckoning with Jesus and was willing to give up his earthly wealth to be a faithful follower of Jesus. We also learn that we are responsible for the stewardship of our lives and of the gospel, and one day we shall give an account and be judged according to how we lived in this world. Someone might ask the question, what awards will Christians receive when they get to heaven? In today's lesson, the Lord told a parable about some who were left with money until their master returned and asked them to give an account of how they had used the money. Some did invest the money and produced more. Because these were faithful and made a profit, they were given greater responsibility in the kingdom to rule over cities. They went from managing some money to ruling over a number of cities. This teaches us that when a Christian faithfully serves his Master and Lord, he will be rewarded with much greater responsibilities in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. We cannot be sure if the Lord intends us to rule over cities, but there is a scripture that says we shall reign with him, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, so this might indicate the type of reward and responsibilities we shall have in the future kingdom. The Bible teaches us that there will be something called the judgment seat of Christ. At this judgment, all the believers will appear before the Lord, and he will judge them according to their works. If their works were of no spiritual value, they will be burned up with fire. This could be things that look to be a service for God, but were actually motivated by selfishness, pride, or money. Those works which are done for the right motive for the Lord will be rewarded greatly. A careful reading of the Bible will show us that God is very generous to his children who love him and serve him faithfully. We can think of someone like Abraham who pleased the Lord when he was willing to give up his beloved son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. Because Abraham loved God so much that he was willing to give up his son, God blessed him and all his descendants from that time until the present. King David wanted to build a temple to honor the Lord, and the Lord said he was going to establish David's throne forever, and one of his children would be an everlasting king on his throne. When King Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom to govern over the nation, God was pleased with his request and gave him more wisdom than any other man, and also gave him riches and a peaceful reign. Yes, God is very generous in his dealings with his children, and when we do things that please God, he will abundantly bless us with eternal riches that will never fade away. What a wonderful hope the believer has of gaining such bountiful rewards from the Lord. However, we need to be aware that the rewards are granted to those who are faithful in their service for Christ and behave in ways that please the Lord. Christians who are still attached to this world and their own wealth and comfort cannot expect to look forward to the same rewards as those who love and serve God faithfully. I cannot imagine that anyone will be disappointed when they get to heaven and their rewards are not as great as others, because heaven and eternal life are gifts that are so vastly great that no one shall ever think to complain. The Bible does tell us that some will suffer loss at the judgment seat when their works are burned up. I think there will be many surprises on that day, when the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Someone we did not think was making much impact for God's kingdom will suddenly move to the front of the line in heaven and receive great rewards. We wonder how or where did they earn that great reward, while others we assumed would be rewarded greatly are at the back of the line. Much of true Christianity is done in secret, feeding the poor, nursing the sick, visiting the sorrowing. These activities do not receive much attention in our world, but in heaven they are noticed and greatly valued. We look at some preachers in their fancy clothes and big talk, and perhaps think they will be ones who are going to receive the greatest rewards in heaven. But I think we shall be shocked to see that what was valued among men was an abomination to God, and they might make it to heaven all right, but they will be saved as by fire, because their works were all about the glory of man and not the glory of God. We do not know all that God has in store for his children, but we can be assured that our God is generous and whatever He supplies to us will be much more than we ever deserved, and will bring us much joy in the ages to come. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.